We are already on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. It's a pretty short Amud today, and we're only gonna what? This is a pretty short Amud, yeah, and we're only gonna get to the Mishnah at the bottom, I guess, because that seems like a good stopping point. And we're already a few lines in. We're already on the fourth line, so the Chazara time today is going to be very important. Take advantage of that, please. Why is it that earlier generations used to have miracles happen to them all the time, and why is it that for us we're different? We don't seem to have miracles happen for us. So if it's because you want to say, well, they learn better, it all boils down to Talmud Torah, and their Talmud Torah was on such a higher level, and that's why they merited miracles. In the years of Rabbi Yehuda, everyone was well versed in Nezikin. But we learn six Siddurim, not just Nezikin. When Rabbi Yehuda would learn Uktzin, what are Uktzin? It's a Masechta. Yeah, what does the word mean? Huh? Yeah, the stem, a stem of a pri. What is it? Why are there halachas of stems of peiros? Yad, the kabel tuma, things like that. Okay, good. So, not climb. So when Rabbi Yehuda got to Uktzin, he isha shekoveshes yerek begedera, and he started learning the Mishnah about a woman who is pickling a vegetable in a pot. Va'amrila zesim shekovshan bitrafehen, or olives that are being pickled or soaked with their leaves. Tahorim, that they're tahor. Omar, so when he got to that Mishnah that spoke about some of these detailed laws of Uktzin, that the leaves of the olives have a din of a yad for Zaysim to be maybe tumma on them, but when you soak them, then loses the status of a yad. What is a yad? What do I mean the status of a yad? Fruits don't have hands. An extension of it, right? So in terms of Kabbalah's tumma, what if the tumma doesn't touch the fruit itself, it only touches the handle of the kli, so to speak, the stem or the leaf that you hold it by, is that considered part of the fruit or not? So when he got to this discussion of that, once you're ready pickling the fruit, then the stems and the leaves aren't really considered part of it. They're no longer considered the yados of the fruit. So Amar, he would say, Havayos to Rav Shmuel kachazina hacha. These Mishnayos are as difficult as learning the detailed discussions between Rav and Shmuel. Meaning he thought that this was an overwhelmingly difficult limud. Vanan, but now we, our days, kamasnina b'uktzin tleisar mesivta. We have 13 kailalim that all learn Mesechus Uktzin. No, not 13 kailalim. We have 13 different ways of learning Mesechus Uktzin. 13 different pshatim in every Mishnah and Uktzin. So we're much better in learning than they were. So it doesn't make sense. You can't tell me that the reason they had Nisim and we don't have Nisim is because they were stronger in learning. This idea that there's been some Yerida in the learning, it's not true. There's been Aliyah in the learning. We're better than them in learning. So what's going on? Rav Yehuda, yet when Rav Yehuda, ki have a shalav chad mesanei, asimitra. If it wasn't raining and he needed rain, so what would and the Jewish people needed rain? You know what he would do? He would start to remove his shoes in order to show a sign of mourning, to daven properly, you know, to make a fast day and daven properly. The second he'd remove one of his shoes, as soon as he removed one of his shoes, all of a sudden it started pouring. And it was like that. It was like nothing. Va'anan kum sarina nafshin, and we make ourselves suffer. And we cry out and we do all these tfilos and fasting and we remove both shoes and we do and the less tamashkach ban, and no one's listening, meaning we're not getting any response. So what is the difference? Why is it that we are not zocha to nisim or to our prayers being answered particularly quickly? It's not about Talmud Torah, it's about Mesiris Nefesh. The earlier generations were mostly nefesh for Kiddush Hashem. We are not mostly nefesh nearly as much for Kiddush Hashem. And that's the ultimate difference. The Gemara is going to give an example of what it means to be mostly nefesh for Kiddush Hashem. And it's going to give the example through a story. But before we get to that, let's do main point number one. The Rishonim, meaning the earlier generations, had Nisim because of their greater Mesiras Nefesh for Kiddush Hashem, and not because of any greater Talmud Torah. not because of any greater Talmud Torah. They didn't have greater Talmud Torah. So what's the example of Mesiris Nefesh for Kiddush Hashem? Says the Gemara, Ki hada Rav Adabar Ahava, like the story of Rav Adabar Ahava, Chazia lahi kutis, he saw a kuti woman, Tahavas Levisha Karbalta Beshuka, who was wearing a karbalta. Rashi says a certain type of chashva beged that apparently was very showy and was therefore not deemed to be particularly tsanua. Not in the sense that we often think of non-tsanias clothing as exposing too much. It's not that it was attention grabbing that was the lack of tsanias. So Savar de Bas Yisrael, he didn't realize that this woman was a kutis. He thought she was a Jewish girl, and therefore come Karemina. He got up and he ripped it off of her so she wouldn't have this non-tsanias clothing. Iglai Milsa de Kutis, it was a little awkward because he found out that she was a Kutis, she wasn't really Jewish. So Shemua Barba Mea Zuzi. So they assessed that it's 400 Zuz to pay for that very Chashva Beged. So Amarlah Mashimcha. So he said to her, making small talk, I go, well, what's your name? Amrale, she said, Matun. My name is Matun. Amrala, Matun, Abrame Azuzi Shavya. Matun sounds like Masayim, it's like 200. So he said her name twice. Matun, now you cost me 400 zuz, because I have to pay you back for ripping your clothing. It's not so clear. Did he only have to pay her back for ripping her clothing because it turned out he was unjustified in doing it? What if it would have been that it was a Jewish girl and that he was in fact justified in doing it? Would he still have to pay her back because it's the Isser V'Heter is unrelated to the Dine Mamanis? Or do you say, no, it's only because he was unjustified in doing it? So Rav Zilberstein once wrote to me that Rav Elyashiv held that, like those who explain this Gemara, that was the Mesiris Nefesh. He knew he was going to have to pay for it. Meikara, even if she was a Jewish girl, he knew he was going to have to pay for it. And that's what we're saying, that they were Moser Nefesh, Al Kiddush Hashem. I never understood the Gemara that way. I thought that, no, it's only he only ended up paying her because she turned out to be not Jewish. That's what Rav Zilberstein told me, that Rav Yashav understood the Gemara. I'm sure it's probably printed in one of the Sfarim. So, main point number two, the example of Mesiris Nefesh of the earlier generations is when Rav Adabar Ahava ripped the clothing of the Kutis. What? So meaning Rav Elyashiv understood that it was Mesiris Nefesh because he knew he was going to have to pay the 400 zuz. I thought it was just because it's embarrassing that's where you're going to go and you're going to... So even though it's embarrassing to do that, to behave that way, but apparently that's the Mesiris Nefesh, that he did it even though... That's what I would have thought, but... Okay? So says the Gemara, Rav Gidol Ava Ragil, Dava Ka'azov Yosef Ashari Ditvila. Rav Gidol used to have this practice that he would walk by the mikveh. Amr lehu hachi tevilu v'hachi tevilu, and he would give instructions. This is how you're tovel, you tovel. This is how you tovel. So he was giving instructions in the mikveh. Now, who goes to the mikveh in the times when there's no longer a Beis HaMikdash? Only women go to a mikveh in time when there's a halachically. Men, you don't need to give instructions how to tovel, because whatever tevilah they're doing is just for extra kedusha or whatever. There's no halacha, so do whatever you want. But women need instruction in terms of the tevilah. So he's going into the mikveh and giving instructions to women about the tevilah. So Amrili Rabbanan, Lokom Estafi Marmi Yetzer Hara. Aren't you afraid of the Yetzer Hara? That this is what you're going to be talking to women about? Amrilahu Damian Ba'api Ki Ka'a Ki Chivri. He says, to me, they're just a bunch of white geese. Meaning, I don't have any taiva or any Yetzer Hara whatsoever for them. If you look in the Hagos Habach on the side, he writes, "Near Beinai Hadul Omer Le Me'ein Nabisha." Because I'm reading Gabei Rabbi Yochanan. We'll see that in a second. Let's see the next story in the Gemara. We'll have a better sense of what he's talking about. Rabbi Yochanan Ava Ragil Da Hava Ka'azul Yosef Ashari Detvila. Rabbi Yochanan also had the practice that he would hang out by the mikveh as well. Omer, and he would say, Ki sulkan benos Yisrael va'asyan mitvila. When the benos Yisrael would finish, they'd come up and they'd finish their tvila, mistaklin bi. They'll look at me, I'll be the first thing that they see. V'nahavilu zara d'shapiri kavasi. And therefore, that will be a segula for them to have children as beautiful, as good-looking as I am. Because we know about Rabbi Yochanan that he was exceptionally good-looking. So he was saying, good, so when they come out of the tefillah, the first thing they see when they come out of the mikvah apparently is going to affect what they're going to be thinking about that night when they have tashmish with their husbands, and that apparently what they're thinking about affects what kind of children they have. So if they're going to be thinking about his beauty, they'll have children that are as beautiful as him. So he figured he's doing them a great favor. So Amrile Rabbana, the Rabbana said to him, Lokam Mustafi Mar Mein Abisha, aren't you a little bit afraid at least of the Ayin Hara? Meaning, what's the Ayin Hara? Everyone's going to be looking at your beauty. That's going to be something that you're drawing attention to. Whenever one draws attention to their own successes or their own things that they have going for them, that's Ayin Hara. You don't want to draw attention to that. You try to be, what's the way to ward off an Ayin Hara? It's not by wearing red strings or anything like that. That has absolutely nothing to do with Ayin Hara. That has more to do with Darkei Amori, but it has nothing to do with Ayin Hara. So how do we actually ward off Ayin Hara? We go bitznius. We try not to draw attention to ourselves. That's how we avoid the Ayin Hara. So aren't you afraid? Aren't you worried about the Ayin Hara? Amr Lahu, he said, no. Ana mizara di Yosef ka'asina. I come from the children of Yosef. I descend from Yosef. To lo shalt bei enabisha. And Yosef was not subject to Ayin Hara. Dechsiv, because the pasuk says, Ben Poros Yosef, Ben Poros Alei Ayin. What does it mean? Alei Ayin? Vam Rabbi Avo, al tekre Alei Ayin ela Olei Ayin. That he's like above the Ayin Hara. That he doesn't get affected from the Ayin Hara. The Ayin Hara, no one looks at him, and he's not subject to the Ayin Hara. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Amar Mehacha. He says, you know how I know it? He says that Yosef is not subject to the Ayin Hara from the following very famous pasuk: V'yidgu larov bekerav haaretz. What's v'yidgu? Fish. Dug, right? They should be as plentiful as the fish. They care of hearts. Ooh, ma dugim shabiyam, mayim mechasen aleim. Just like the fish in the sea, the water covers them so you don't see the fish. Ve'ein ayin arash aletas b'em. And therefore, do you know when the fish are being successful and multiplying? No, you can't see. They're under the water, so you don't see them. Avzaru shal Yosef ein ayin hara shaletus bam. So too the children of Yosef are like the fish, you can't see, and the ayin hara is not going to be sholet over them. V'iba yisema ayin shalo rotza lozun mimashena shalo ein ayin hara shaletus bam. Or a third possibility of why it is that the ayin hara is not sholet in Yosef. Yosef was the one who wasn't interested in getting hana'ah from something that didn't belong to him, meaning Eishes Potiphar, so therefore the Ayin Hara is not going to control him. What does one have to do with the other? His not wanting to benefit from Eishes Potiphar? I'm not sure. Well, I don't know what that has to do with Ayin Hara, but that's his schar, that he doesn't, that he's not subject to the Ayin Hara. By the way, I mentioned before, Talesa Masifto, when it comes to Uktzin, so I mentioned that it means not 13 Kailulim, but 13 different Pshatim. Tosfos is one that says 13 Kailulim learning it, 13 yeshivas that learn it. Tosfos and Talesa Masifto points out, Yesh Mefarshin, Talesa Yeshivos Yesh Banu Shebekiyim. The Talesar Lavdafka Lashon Aragil B'Gemara. And he says a lot of times there are certain numbers, it's an important idea that the Gemara has, that there are certain numbers that are, there are certain numbers that are that the Gemara likes to use as examples sometimes, just to as exaggerations. Whenever the Gemara wants to say a big number, there are certain like go-to numbers that the Gemara has. So Tlesar is one of them. 13 is one of those big numbers. So a couple of main points. Actually, we did two already. Okay. So we have Rav Gidal sat by the mikvah to instruct, and wasn't worried about the Yetzer Hara because he was above it. They were all a bunch of white geese to him. He wasn't worried about the Yetzer Hara. Rabbi Yochanan sat there to inspire with his beauty, and he wasn't worried about Ayin Hara because he descends from Yosef. The Bach that we didn't do, that we were about to do before, asks the question, why by Rav Gidol did they say, aren't you worried about the Yetzer Hara? And by Rabbi Yochanan they asked him, aren't you worried about Ayin Hara? Why not ask him about, aren't you worried about the Yetzer Hara? So the Bach writes, Hadalo Amrle Me Ein Abisha, Kedarmin Gabe Rabbi Yochanan, Haini Mishum Rabbi Yochanan Mustakli Bei Vishayich Bei Ein Abisha. The role that they were serving was an entirely different function. It was an entirely different role. Rav Gidal wasn't drawing attention to himself. He was instructing them. Rabbi Yochanan, the whole point was he was trying to get all eyes on him. He was drawing attention to himself, and therefore it's more of a concern of Ein Abisha. Mashen Ken Rav Gidal Aval Kasha, but says the Bach, here's my problem. Why didn't they ask Rabbi Yochanan about the Yetzer Hara? I get why they didn't ask Rabbi Gidal about the Ayin Hara, but why didn't they ask Rabbi Yochanan about the Yetzer Hara? He had these gigantic eyelashes that covered his eyes, and he could not see. Like it's clear in the story in the Gemara in Tainus, Dalene v'chaza, that he lifted up his eyes and he saw. And Baba Kama Kuf Yitzayin, Daluli Einai, lift up my eyes for me, lift up my eyelids for me. So again, the mental picture of Rabbi Yochanan is a difficult image to draw in one's mind. Our conception of beauty is not probably exactly what their conception of beauty was, or maybe there's some level of, there's obviously clearly also some level of spiritual beauty, but be that as it may, what we know about him was that he was extremely large, he was extremely beautiful, and he had extremely heavy eyelids. So that is what we know about Rabbi Yochanan, and we know a lot of his Torah, obviously, as well. Okay, so let's take some time to chazan it. Yeah.